Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Bez, what have we got around the grounds this week?
Courtney Vine is on fire for Sydney FC. Lauren Jackson is maybe still going to the Olympics. New research shows that six of the top 10 properties experiencing the biggest increase in online search volumes were women's sport properties.
How good.
It's very good.
It's very, very good. For the key story, we'll chat about the allegations against Sam Kerr over in the UK. My name is Chloe Dalton. I'm joined every week on the show by my co-host, Bez. We're recording on Gadigal land. Let's take a look around the grounds. Oh, me. In football, the final of the knockout tournament in the UK, the Conti Cup, has been decided. Arsenal beat Aston Villa 4-0. And Chelsea hung on to defeat Manchester City 1-0. The final is set for Molyneux Stadium in Wolverhampton at the end of this month, but they might have to look at other options as the 32,000 capacity in Wolverhampton will just not be enough anymore.
Not even close.
Not even close. Last week, ESPN reported that Arsenal's average attendance this season is 34,997. That average is greater than 10 men's Premier League teams. We all watch women's sport. Like that awesome t-shirt from our friends at Together, everybody watches women's sport. I love that.
Yeah, they've sold out Emirates and had 60,000 plus three times.
So good.
I don't think they will move the final, but gosh, I wish they would.
I know.
Because people will be locked out.
And we don't want that.
No. In snow sport news, Jacara Anthony won her 13th gold medal of a record-breaking World Cup season. The event in Kazakhstan saw her break American Hannah Carney's record for most mogul wins in a season, and she still has a chance to add another in Italy next weekend. She's so good.
What a boss.
Anthony will add three crystal globes to the trophy cabinet for her absolute domination in the single and dual moguls format and the overall point score. Crystal globes are scary to be travelling around with, aren't they?
Yeah. Do you take them carry-on?
I think so. Do you think they come in a special case?
I would hope so.
Agree.
I feel like it'd be quite hefty though. The globes are big.
Yeah, speaking of crystal globes, Danielle Scott defended her World Cup aerials title after the final event in Kazakhstan was called off due to bad weather, which apparently included very thick fog.
We don't want thick fog.
Not when we're hurling ourselves meters into the air and doing flippy flips and then trying to land.
Yeah, no.
No, no good.
Full visibility required.
Absolutely. Scott was super consistent throughout the season with her four second place finishes enough to secure the Crystal Globe as the season's aerials champion.
In basketball, game one of the WNBL final series between the Southside Flyers and the Perth Lynx was a fairly one-sided affair. They came out firing, didn't they, the Lynx? They started fast and led by 23 at halftime. Despite a late flurry of threes from the GOAT, Lauren Jackson, the Lynx took game one, 101-79. Amy Atwell was huge for Perth, finishing with a game-high 30 points, and the Flyers will need to win away from home in Perth on Thursday night to keep the three-game series alive.
And in a GOAT at the Olympics update, Jackson has come out and said that if Basketball Australia can arrange to have her two boys with her in Paris, she will reconsider her international retirement.
That's a big, big flip, isn't it?
It is. So she was speaking last week and she said that it was leaving the boys before heading to Brazil for those qualifiers that left her consumed by guilt. She recounted dropping them at her parents and she said that Harry said some things to me that really hit home and I felt great mum guilt. I was missing Lenny's first day of school and Harry's birthday that week. And again, Harry said to me, "Mum, you missed my first day at school last year as well."
Sad.
It's pretty tough.
Yeah.
So given how well she's playing at the moment, though, it seems that she's had a little bit of a reconsider and she's, I think, basically indicated that if she's selected and Basketball Australia come to the party in regards to being able to send the boys with her, we might just see her at her fifth Olympic Games.
Yeah, so this one's a really interesting discussion. So I think, we obviously talked about last week around the provisions for breastfeeding athletes to be able to have access to facilities and things like that. So I think in this example, that there's provisions to help have a carer for a child up to the age of five. But because her boys are 5 and 7, they kind of sit outside of that. And it's an interesting one because I feel like it's only LJ that would have the ability to have those discussions potentially. Like, because she is the GOAT, I feel like she has the ability. And I think BA are in negotiations at the moment to make it happen.
I think it becomes with that whole kind of equation of, is she worth it?
Mm.
Would you be worth it for the Opals? Probs not.
No.
Is Lauren Jackson worth it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Discussion over. Make Great. It happen.
On to the next then. In A-League, in football, Courtney Vine missed the Matildas qualifier due to personal reasons, but she needs to be well and truly in the plans for Paris based on her performance for Sydney FC on the weekend. Vine scored 2 goals in the second half to help the Sky Blues to a 3-1 win over ladder leaders Western United on Saturday. That result means Sydney FC sit only 2 points behind Western United and they have a game in hand.
Very tight at the top. The Central Coast Mariners are also on the charge. They beat the Brisbane Roar 2-0 in Queensland. Kai Simon is getting back to her best. It's awesome to see. And she scored the winner in the second half. That win will take the Mariners to third place on the ladder. And as I said, it's very tight.
It's so cool seeing Kai back doing her thing, isn't it?
It is great. It's a lovely problem that I think that, not a problem really, but it's a great timing in regards to Paris with Sam Kerr obviously missing.
Very, very good point.
Thank you. In some stats news, we love stats. Sport on Search 2024 is a report released late last month that ranks sports organisations based on search results in 2023.
I love this.
Red Torch, the research company, analysed Google Trends from 2023 and compared results with each group's previous 4-year average. The results of women's sports show what we all know. People want to know more about women's sport.
Some of the key takeaways, Bez, that we loved. The Women's Super League, so over in the UK, the WSL, recorded a 258% increase in online searches in 2023, the largest increase of any sport. So if we compared to one of the men's comps of Major League Soccer, the MLS, it came in a distant second with an uptick of 87% more searches than in 2022. Basketball's EuroLeague women weren't far behind at 76%. The UEFA Women's Champions League at 70% came in fourth and fifth, respectively, those two comps. 6 of the top 10 properties experiencing the biggest increases in online search volumes were, Bez?
Women's sports properties.
Yeah, they were.
The report... It's a really interesting report. We should link to it, actually. It's worth a read. It noted that accessibility is crucial for continued growth of women's sport, which we all know broadcasting live and free-to-air increases that visibility and allows for greater engagement. It's all common sense kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It also pointed out that consistent coverage and investment is needed to capitalize on the spike after major events, such as a good example was the FIFA World Cup in 2023. And obviously what we've got now to build off is the Paris Olympics. So it really highlighted that short-term investment can be converted to long-term fans if a growth strategy is combined with targeted investment. And the WSL numbers show us that. I just think we do talk a lot of stats and we talk a lot of kind of reports, but I really love this one because if you want to really simplify it, this is measuring the appetite for women's sport.
Yeah.
And the people are hungry.
I'm here for that. I don't even think you planned that, but I like it.
I just appetite. I had a small breakfast this morning. We're hungry.
We are hungry for women's sport.
This is exactly what this is. This is showing that people are actively searching for information on women's sport.
When we're talking appetite, I'm just going to throw something in there that I wanted to talk about on the podcast this week and I haven't given you a heads up about. But
there was
this great Caitlin Clark piece of data looking at the fact that if she is going to go number one in the WNBA draft, which is
she will,
like you'd be ridiculous, Indiana, if that wasn't the case. But
instant clean out of the coaching staff and the board.
See you later. There's been a huge spike in demand for Indiana Fever games already, and ticket sales. The prices of tickets have jumped to huge amounts in US dollars. When we posted this, Stinger, who does our socials on TFAP, did this great post. There was some interesting comments around the fact that these really high prices can actually exclude a lot of families from going to support and watch someone like Caitlin Clark live. What do you think about this idea of as women's sport continues to boom, that there might be a demand that can shut people out?
I think it's an unfortunate reality. I think that when you say that word demand, for me, it's supply and demand. And the reality is that Caitlin Clark is that good that people will pay over and above to see her in real life. I understand that, you know, cost of living crisis is making it hard for people to get out to things. But I think what's important to understand in this aspect is in this instant is that this stadium won't be empty. They're not jacking up the price and it'll have empty seats. And I understand that's not wonderful for everyone, but the reality is that, you know, the more people we get there paying more price, hopefully that money flows back into the game and into the women's side of the organisation, and we see continued growth, and maybe they play in bigger stadiums and it becomes cheaper.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. It almost pushes the argument even further to put them in bigger stadiums so that it can be more accessible. But I think one of the interesting things we've seen off the back of this Sam Kerr discussion as well is this idea that with equality coming in women's sport also comes some negative things, right?
Absolutely. Everything, there's a balance to everything, and equality is going to have some negative sides to it.
Yeah, and I think this is an example of that as well. As there's a huge demand for an athlete like Caitlin Clark, one of the downsides could be the cost of ticket prices. Is there potentially more responsibility maybe on the sporting organization, those who are running ticket sales, to make it more accessible? I don't know.
I do, as I said, as we've said, I do see that point coming from the people, but I think if you're going to go watch an elite athlete at the top of the game, then sometimes you've got to pay for it. I mean, we pay premium prices to watch men's NBA.
Yep.
Don't get me started on NFL tickets that I paid for last time we were there. Holy. But like, yeah, I just think, again, it's equality, isn't it?
Mm. Let's take a look at the key story.
In some more football news, so there was plenty going on when it was revealed last week that Sam Kerr had been charged with intentionally causing racially aggravated harassment, alarm, or distress to a male police officer in January 2023. It was originally reported that Kerr was involved in a dispute relating to a cab incident and called the officer a stupid white. We're going to say the word? Bastard?
I think we can say it.
Right, it's been said. Her legal team have applied to have the case dismissed on grounds of abuse of process, and that hearing is scheduled for April 26 this year. The Australian reported that Kerr denies the claims and she instead called the officer a stupid white cop.
Over the weekend, former Socceroo and anti-racism advocate Craig Foster actually apologised publicly to Sam after on Twitter, well, X as it's now called, after he earlier called for her to be removed as skipper if found guilty. So what happened is he kind of called her out when it first came out and said she should be stood down as captain of the Aussie team. But then sounds like he's gone away, done a bit of research. And so he admitted that he previously had a bit of an incorrect understanding about what racism was. He said, like many, I mistakenly thought that comments that reference any colour and were discriminatory, demeaning or hostile were a form of racism. I apologise to Sam for that mistake. He went on to cite the Diversity Council of Australia's definition of racism, which states that racism takes place when that person is in a position of race-based societal power, meaning using the word white does not fit this definition as they are not a marginalised or minority group. And I think I was probably a little bit surprised that someone in Craig's position that does a huge amount in the diversity and inclusion space and campaigning for rights and freedom of people across the world, that he didn't, I guess, have that understanding previously.
Yeah, and I think that's why it was kind of important to include this in the discussion, because someone like Craig Foster was also confused with how racism is defined. I think it's excellent of Craig to have put his hand up and said, I apologise, I've made a mistake, I've gone on to do some more research and understand that this is not a racist trope. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things that people are quick, we talk about equality, people were quick to jump on top of Sam in a negative way and also go to bat for her in a very kind of supportive way. We obviously had some back and forth on social media about it when we posted. And I think as we spoke about it kind of offline, that again, it's that if this was a male footballer, we'd be reporting the same kind of things. And at the end of the day, this is where we're at, and it's great. It's great that this kind of equality is being seen, and, you know, that there are going to be some negative aspects to that.
Yeah, and I think just the fact that, yeah, as you said, you included this discussion with Craig, I think was a big one to kind of redefine it, because a lot of people talked about this concept of reverse racism and things like that, which is just
malarkey.
Good word.
Football Australia have come out in support of Kerr. There was a bit of back and forth about her not having told FA, but they have come out in full support of Kerr, and as has her club at Chelsea. So, yeah, I guess watch this space. I think the thing that blows my mind the most about all of this is the time lapse involved. It happened 12 months ago. The hearing is set for another 12 months. It's just this legal challenge that's going to be held in April 26 to have it thrown out.
It's a long process.
Gosh. Imagine if she was still playing. Obviously, she's rehabbing, which is probably worse because she's got idle time to think about it.
Yeah.
But if she was playing, she's hanging over her head while she's preparing for Olympics, it'd be pretty ordinary.
Mm. Let's take a look at what to watch. Game 2 of the WNBL Grand Final Series is this Thursday at the Bendap Basketball Centre in Perth. The game is already sold out, so if you missed out on tickets, you'll have to watch live on the Nine Network or ESPN. Tip-off is 6:30 p.m. local time, which is 9:30 p.m. AEDT. Game 3, if required, will be on Saturday night.
Question for you. I was watching Game 1 last night. They were talking about how Game 2 was already sold out. Mm. Sunday to Thursday. Can we move it to a bigger stadium, please, Perth?
Surely.
It really gets under my skin when we lock people out of these events.
Yeah.
And I get it if that's the biggest stadium they've got. I'm pretty sure the Bendap Basketball Centre is not the biggest stadium.
It can't be.
That they could be playing that game in. Where do the Wildcats play? Are they still called the Wildcats?
I reckon. I'm going to have a look while you continue.
Great, because this next story is really important. I need your focus. Super Rugby W is back.
Yep.
After an extended preseason that saw teams take on touring sides from Japan and a Pacifica team, round one is here. On Saturday, the New South Wales Waratahs will be hosting the ACT Brumbies at Allianz Stadium in Sydney. Kickoff is 5:05 p.m. and all of the Super Rugby games over the weekend will be live on Stan Sport. And I believe we're getting a very special commentator on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Hey, me. Sorry. My jaws dropped to the floor. Bendap Basketball Stadium has a capacity of 2,000 people.
Oh, stop it.
What is happening there? No, that's not good enough.
For a grand final. No wonder it sold out.
That's ridiculous. Like, that needs to be better.
Where do the Perth Wildcats play?
So the Bendap Basketball Stadium Centre is home to the Perth Lynx and is a training facility for the Perth Wildcats.
RAC Arena, known colloquially as the Jungle. Tell me how many people RAC Arena holds. It's a race.
15,500. Put it at the RAC Arena.
She's fired up,
sorry,
people.
Sorry, I'm mad about that.
Fired up.
Oh, is it my turn to keep talking? On Sunday, the Melbourne Derby between the Victory and Melbourne City will be a cracker. Hey, I'm actually also going to be at that. I've got a busy weekend of sport.
You are?
Yeah. The contest kicks off at 2 p.m. at the home of the Matildas in Bundoora. If you're not in Melbourne, you can catch the action live on Paramount Plus and 10play.
And if you are in Melbourne, find Chloe.
Please come say hello. And that's the wrap.
Wrapped it up. Got angry and wrapped it.
I'm still mad. I'll see you next week. Hopefully I've settled down by then. Bye.